always a pleasure. Except that one time it wasn't. Mike Wilner joins me on the line right now. Hello, Michael.
The only times it hasn't been a pleasure is when you've been yelling at me.
I don't know. Actually, I take great pleasure in that.
I know.
So yeah, so maybe for one side of it, it's not pleasurable. But trust me, for me, oh, it's so cathartic. Hopefully you get me enraged enough that I can yell at you today. But I don't think so. I would be surprised. I'm pretty.
I never get you enraged. You enrage yourself.
I get into little circles of rage, circles of anger. So I won't get that way, I don't think, because it's a happy day because Devin Travis is a Toronto Blue Jay. And Mike, obviously the first thing you do when you see a guy like Devin Travis get traded, you look at the minor league numbers, you look at some write-ups, you look at some scouting reports. The numbers kind of jump off the page at you. He's been great offensively wherever he's gone. Reaching double A for the first time last year, OPS of 817, on base of 358, and he's slugged 460, and he's a little guy. He's 5'9", but almost 200 pounds. So that all looks good, but I guess there's a little bit of a differing opinion on him. Keith Law doesn't like him all that much, especially defensively. He called him below average. There's universal acclaim for him, despite the fact that some people had him ranked as the number one prospect for the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, there seem to be wildly divergent ideas of what he is and what he's going to be able to do. But, you know, that's kind of what happens sometimes when you're in the crystal ball business and trying to predict the future. You know what you're looking for and you know what you like, but honestly, you're just taking trying to take an educated best guess at what someone's going to wind up doing. There are players who are universally hailed as wonderful prospects and the surefire can't miss whatevers, and I would say well over 50% of them wind up doing nothing in the major leagues. There are some guys who nobody thinks is going to be able to play and wind up being multiple time All-Stars. Doesn't happen very often.
I think I ran into Matt Laporta at my local Walmart. He's a greeter there.
See, you know, there are a lot of guys like that. The stacks, resume stacks at McDonald's and Walmart are littered with former can't miss prospects.
Let's not rip on people that work at Walmart and McDonald's either.
No, they're lovely people.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of those failed prospects is currently a Blue Jay too, in Justin Smoke. That was a guy I thought was can't miss.
He got to the major leagues, right?
Right.
So he's ahead of a bunch of them already, although he's, you know, Anthony Gose is another one who's still got an opportunity. But a guy who was thought to be the package and has not been the package quite yet. Travis Snyder. I mean, there are a lot of them. So even if Devin Travis had come over and been thought of by everyone as an absolute can't miss, first of all, you wouldn't have been able to get him for Ghost. Two, there's no guarantees that that's what he's going to be. But this was a situation in which the Blue Jays had a need, very clearly and very obviously.
Yep.
And they had stuff to spare in young center fielders. They've got three.
Yep.
And Anthony Ghost is probably third on the list of three. And he's the closest to being out of options and closest to arbitration and all of that stuff. So he's the guy to go. It makes a lot of sense. It's too bad that Ghost didn't work out. I mean, he's the best defensive center fielder I've ever seen.
I know.
His speed is unbelievable.
You like to shake up the Twitters when you say that.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people who never saw Devon White play think that's blasphemy. I know. Look, the truth of the matter is he's phenomenal. He's an incredible package of talent who hasn't been able to put it together yet, but he's only 24. He still might well put it together. But Dalton Pompey has clearly caught and passed him.
Yep.
And so you need a second baseman. Go get yourself a young second baseman.
Yeah, not to call you an Anthony Ghost defender, but you're a guy that still believes that there might be something there offensively,
sure.
Right? I think that we've seen enough of a sample to make the and not just in the major leagues. He's never really shown it in the minor leagues either. I think
24-year-old Jose Bautista. Look at 24-year-old Edwin Encarnacion. Look at a lot of guys who are 24 years old. You know, it's baseball. We certainly have not seen enough.
Yeah, and even if he's not any better offensively, I think there's certainly a place in the major leagues, and maybe for a long time for Anthony Ghost with that defense, the speed, the arm. I think there's no shame in being a fourth outfielder for a long time, Mike, either.
No, there certainly isn't. And he's a guy who is, right now, he's a fantastic 25th man on a lot of teams.
Right.
And someday he might be able to hit, which will make him even better.
So Devin Travis, apparently, he's good buddies with a bunch of guys that are on the Blue Jays. Everybody's buddies with Marcus Stroman, though, it seems like.
How can you not be?
Right.
Lovely young man.
Him and Baby Bon Bon.
That's right.
Good dudes. And I guess they got to know each other a little bit, Arizona Fall League. The one thing that
well,
kind of...
played in the ACC together, too.
Right.
I think, you know...
Against each other.
Well, when you have... When there's something about you that everyone always talks about, you're drawn to other people who are in that same situation. And
small guys.
Then, yeah, they're both small guys and undersized, and they get a lot of... there's a lot of doubt cast upon them because of their size, so... Travis said it in that the conference call where we got to talk to him for the first time. He said he played against Duke, and he saw this little guy playing second base. And then he played second for the first eight innings and came in to close the game in the ninth inning on the mound and was throwing like 95, 96 and blowing people away. So that caught his eye immediately, and he kept his eye on him for the rest of their college careers. And then, like you said, the Arizona Fall League, Yeah, there's a camaraderie of short dudes, I guess.
Yeah, it's and you know everybody likes to make the comparison when guys look like each other, like oh Tom Gordon and Marcus Stroman's a right. Tom Gordon type,
exactly because he's short and he's black,
right? And Devin Travis is
Jose
but it is kind of interesting and
or
listen,
Brian Giles,
right?
You know?
And there, it was interesting to hear him on with Jeff Blair because he did say he kind of does model his game a little bit after Jose Altuve. So that
why
was
wouldn't you?
Sure.
He won a batting title. He led the league in stolen bases. Why wouldn't you model your game after Jose Altuve? If Devin Travis can be 60% of Jose Altuve, Blue Jays fans will be absolutely thrilled.
And you know what? I enjoyed hearing out of him in that conversation. I don't know if you heard it, but I know you were on the conference call with him. Is that at Florida State? They preached about not swinging outside of the zone and plate discipline. And it seems like he's done that for the most part in his career. He's got a career minor league on base of .388, which isn't extremely high considering his batting average is .323. But it seems like, Mike, and I know you've talked to more people about him than I have, and you probably have a better indication, but it seems like that's a big part of his game as well.
And his walk rate went way up the last, like, 4 months of last season also, and his strikeout rate came down as well. He's a weird hitter, it seems like. And, again, I say this only going off stuff I've learned the last 3 or 4 days. I've never seen him play, I don't think. I mean, I might have seen him play in a spring training game, but I don't think so. He's a weird-looking hitter, and he doesn't do things the way people say you're supposed to do things. He's very front-foot heavy. So there are reasons that people will say, oh, he's never going to hit in the major leagues. Once he starts to face advanced pitching, he's going to be in serious trouble. But so far he's hit, and it works for him. And there are a lot of guys who are weird-looking hitters, Hunter Pence.
Yeah, you know? Of course, that's the guy everybody goes to.
Yeah, sure, why wouldn't you? And it works for them. And if he can continue to get the bat on the ball, then that's wonderful. And hopefully... I mean, we'll get a chance to see him in a lot of Grapefruit League games, I think. And whether he starts in Buffalo or whether he starts in the big leagues, he'll see some advanced pitching, and we'll see if he can continue to do what he's been doing so far.
Talking to Mike Wilner here, Sportsnet Today, Sportsnet Radio Network. Mike, there were reports that one of maybe Chase Utley or Kendrick rejected a trade to the Blue Jays. Do you have any details on that? Do you have any speculation? Is it possible that the Blue Jays had a trade worked out for Chase Utley?
Saw a tweet from somebody else, and then you didn't see a tweet from me?
I don't know. I haven't been scouring the internet every 2 seconds. Just, why don't you just
happened.
Tell me?
It's not true.
Oh.
I tweeted out like an hour after that, I did a little bit of investigating because that would have been very interesting had Howie Kendrick or Chase Utley used their no-trade clauses to block a deal to the Blue Jays, but it didn't happen. And I was told categorically I'm going to look for the exact words here for you so that there can be no...
It's not a lie if we know the truth, right?
That's right. My source confirmed there was never a trade in place. Neither player was ever formally approached about waiving a no trade.
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. Along those lines, though, Mike, when I look at a trade for a guy like Devin Travis, and again, we don't know what he is, and it's so early in the offseason, a lot of things can change, and Alex talked about the fact that, yeah, as it stands right now, he'll compete for a job on opening day, but who knows? Maybe we go out and get an infielder between now and the end of the winter. That being said, Mike, this is a team not in a developmental stage, right? This is a team that's maybe not as much win now as the Detroit Tigers or win now. They're like win last year and the year before that. But the Blue Jays are pretty close to the end of that window and getting down to crunch time and making the playoffs at a certain point, ending that long playoff drought. Is this the best option that you can go out and avail yourselves of when, sure, there's big question marks in whoever you bring in, but certainly a guy who's never been tested above double A. I'm sure Alex Anthopoulos would be a lot happier with a proven commodity. Is there, I mean, how much of a priority is second base still for him, even after this move?
Still, just as much of a priority as
just
it was
as
before.
Much?
I would imagine. I hope so.
Yeah.
And it should be, absolutely. There's no reason for anyone to believe that this is it, that Alex Anthopoulos now feels he's solved second base. And
How comfortable is he going into spring training with Meister Asturias and Devin Travis and Ryan Goins and that mix of guys at second base?
I think he'd be a lot more comfortable if he had someone else, you know, a real legitimate everyday second baseman. But this isn't you don't say no to an opportunity when it avails itself,
right?
If it's not the one that's going to be the ultimate one, right? If I'm out there looking for a second baseman or a third baseman, and all of a sudden this comes up, well, I'm going to leap at it and take it because it's not costing me anything that I need, and it's filling something that I absolutely do need, whether it's for now or for later. But there's still no reason at all why they can't go out and get a second baseman for this year or get a third baseman for this year or even this year and the year after while Travis continues to percolate and they see whether he's ready or not. By no means is this, we have fixed second base. What this is an addition of to add depth in a spot that they needed, dealing surplus that they needed. I mean, if they signed a second baseman first and then made this trade, then I don't think that would even be a question. But this trade's, you know, if you don't make it now, Detroit's going to go out and find a center fielder somewhere else.
Right. Did you see that the Major League Baseball All-Stars were no-hit?
I did.
In their barnstorming tour? That
and
sucks for them.
The last three hitters, apparently, in the ninth inning were the batting champions from both leagues.
Yeah, and Robinson Cano broke a toe.
Yep, fouled the ball off his foot, or got hit by a pitch on the foot and broke a toe.
So that's not good. Also,
Jose Canseco's finger fell off.
that's a weird one, too. Is there footage of that?
He did tweet a picture of it. It's pretty gross.
Disgusting. Talking to Mike Wilner, your Sportsnet today. The Tampa Bay Rays continue to deal away pitchers close to or on the verge of free agency for prospects. Jeremy Hellickson, the latest to leave the American League, headed to Arizona for prospects. He's a guy.
Very young prospects, too.
Yeah.
E-ball guys.
Do you think the Blue Jays were in on him at all? I mean, again, trading within your division's not, I mean, sometimes you're going to have to pay a premium for that. But also, Hellickson, I don't think would work all that well in a ballpark like Rogers Center. Any indication the Blue Jays were in on that?
No, none whatsoever. And I don't think he helps the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
I don't think he's better than what they've got, to be honest. You know, I've never been a big fan of Jeremy Hellickson, even when he won the Rookie of the Year. He's coming off an injury-plagued season that followed a season where he had an ERA over 5. He's really not that good, and the return kind of shows that. The Rays getting a couple of guys who are 3-4 years away. I never even occurred to me that the Blue Jays might have been interested in him.
All right, what's going on with left field? it seemed like from the comments that showed up in Shai's piece last week that Alex Anthopoulos is kind of laying the groundwork for people to be disappointed with the fact that Melky Cabrera is not returning. And certainly it's not Melky Cabrera at any price. If they just get priced ridiculously out of the market, you'd be fine with the Blue Jays leaving that alone. But if the Blue Jays don't have Melky Cabrera and left, that's a real question mark. I mean, what do you have? Do you run some sort of platoon out there with John Mayberry Jr. and somebody else? What is the fallback plan?
I think it's very important to remember that it's November 15th.
Yeah.
Right? And the guys that the Blue Jays have right now are not the guys that they're stuck with. And you know, there's still 4 months of offseason left to add if Melky Cabrera leaves. And I don't think that if Cabrera does go somewhere else, they're going to go into the season with a platoon of John Mayberry and Andy Dierks in left field, or Kevin Pillar and Andy Dierks in left field, or whatever it's going to be. I do think that Cabrera will be replaced if he goes,
yeah.
Whether it's in trade or a guy like
Aoki,
yeah, who's perfect. He really is. I mean,
yeah, the more I look into his numbers, the more I think he's, if not, he might be an upgrade over Melky Cabrera, to be honest.
I don't think he's an upgrade because he doesn't hit for as high an average. He walks
more,
but not, you know, the on base is, what, 349 or something, and Melky's was much better than that. He steals bases, though. Steals bases, and he plays better defense, even though he doesn't necessarily look good doing it.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to come at a third of the cost. So,
right.
I think, really, that I don't believe that would be too much of a downgrade. If you bring in Aoki, if you spread the rest of the money to other places where you need it, Aoki can hit second, and, you know, he hit .363 against lefties last year, so he doesn't have to be platooned. He can play left field just fine. And I know people are working themselves up into this Melky Cabrera is irreplaceable, but really Melky Cabrera is not irreplaceable. I will be disappointed, though, if he signs for like 3 years and $48 million somewhere else.
Right.
Because I think we've kind of been led to believe that that's what the Blue Jays can afford for him. Apparently they're comfortable with him at $13 million a year, and he's looking for $15, $16 million a year, and it's a big gap. But if, you know, he hasn't signed yet.
Yeah.
So nobody has.
But Victor Martinez is really the only guy.
Yeah, but he stayed, right? He didn't leave. So you wonder if other teams feel that Melky's worth that, and that was what Alex said. When he talked to Shai, he said, you know, we're far apart because he thinks he's worth this and we think he's worth that, and we think everybody else is going to agree with us, and that he'll be able to come back to us at a number that we're comfortable with, and we'll get it done that way.
Talking to Mike Wilner, Sportsnet Today, Sportsnet Radio Network, one of the big areas that needed improving this offseason was the bullpen. Alex Anthopoulos has been pretty upfront about that. Andrew Miller's like pretty good and stuff.
Yeah.
And if you don't have to give away an elite level prospect for him, he was not qualified, I don't think. Was he?
I don't think so. No,
yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. So you don't have to give up a pick for him. Apparently there's 22 suitors for Andrew Miller.
Why wouldn't there be?
And I'm stuck in how I want to address this mentally, Mike, because we know that bullpens and relievers are up and down.
Yep.
You can be good and crappy the next year.
Andrew Miller has been.
Yeah, he's been crappy. He's been unable to find the strike zone for long stretches in his career.
Yep.
He was outstanding last year, not just against lefties either. Like
everybody.
Kills everybody.
Yep.
How much, how in on Andrew Miller should the Blue Jays be?
Well, there's a lot of competition, as you just said, but yeah. They should be very in on Andrew Miller, but not to, you know, you don't want to get to the point where, like Melky, you delude yourself into thinking, we have to have this guy, nobody else will do.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the relievers who are out there in free agency, there are a lot of guys who have the potential to be really good. I mean, Andrew Miller was absolutely just, terrifying this year, how good he was for both for Boston and for Baltimore after he got traded. And he did it in the AL East, and he says he wants to stay in the AL East, which gives, you know, the Blue Jays a little bit of hope. But, you know, he's had, he's a year removed from a whip of 1.37.
Yeah.
And you look at him in 2011.
Yep.
He had 41 walks in 65 innings.
Yeah.
You know, in his walk rate has been 4.5 or worse every year, walking a guy every other inning, every single year of his career until last year. Now, maybe he's come into his own, and maybe he's awesome, and he's going to be great. It's going to be impossible for him to duplicate that season, a whip of 0.8 and 15 strikeouts per nine innings.
What are you talking about? Fernando Rodney did it. Oh, wait.
Yeah, exactly.
No, not so much.
He could wind up being really, 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 really good. He really could. But, you know, if you're looking for relievers, there are a lot of really compelling guys who are going to come a lot cheaper than Miller, and you could get a bunch of them, and if one or two work out, you're laughing. Guys like, you know, Mike Adams and Jesse Crane and Luke Hochaver.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. Eh?
Bassett, Jason Mott. I mean, I love those two guys. Tim Stauffer,
yeah,
I'm crazy about as well. If you need a lefty, Joe Thatcher and Zach Duke are out there. I mean, there are a lot of and all however many seven of those guys that I just mentioned, you probably add them all up and they cost as much as Andrew Miller will.
Yeah, Hochaver's an interesting guy.
Yeah.
Former number one overall pick, Tommy John surgery, but really emerged as a great reliever when they finally put him in that role.
Yep.
And he would, you would think, cost not that much because you don't know what you have there after the Tommy John surgery, I guess, Mike.
It's going to be tough, too, though, for the Blue Jays who don't do performance bonuses. And,
right.
And Hochaver may wind up with a low base loaded with incentives from somebody.
Yeah.
But he is interesting. I love Mike Adams. Healthy, he's fantastic. Jason Mott. Look at Jason Mott. You know, he was a closer for the St. Louis Cardinals 2 years ago.
Sure.
He got hurt. He came back and pitched August and September.
Don't you kind of get stuck, though, where I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's just fans that overrate these relievers that were in closer roles, but I feel like the market kind of does as well. Guys
sure
that were quote-unquote closers.
Go away from them.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So wouldn't Mott fall in the category?
No, I don't think so, because I think he was only like a closer for two-thirds of the season. He closed out the team that went to the World Series, I think. But he was never a closer, capital C, you know, multiple-year guy like, say, a K-Rod would be. Even Sergio Romo might not come at a closer price in the offseason. Rafael Soriano, they both lost their closers' jobs.
Soriano was kind of crappy last year, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, but he's been great before. I mean, this is...
You just want to get him on the right side of the sine curve, right?
Right, exactly. And you never know where it's going to be. Pat, people are getting really, really excited about a guy like Pat Neshek, who's out there in free agency, coming off a fantastic season out of the bullpen. But has he ever had two good years in a row?
I just want to talk to Pat Neshek, though.
Oh, he's a cool guy, and there's no question. But I'm looking now at his career numbers. He has never had two good seasons in a row.
No.
So, you know, this is the thing that you have to always be wary of with relievers, and that's why I'm not saying you go dumpster diving or anything, but you there's no reason to spend huge money on a relief pitcher.
Well, sometimes you know just like George Costanza, you look in the garbage can and there's an eclair just sitting there floating at the top of the garbage can. What, are you just not going to eat that? It's untouched.
No, especially if it's untouched and there's still a little piece of wrapper underneath.
Yeah.
It. Yeah, there's no reason.
And it's and it's sitting on like magazines.
Yeah.
Come on. All right. Talking to Mike Wilner, Sportsnet Today, Sportsnet Radio Network. Okay, so I didn't buy any of the Blue Jays. Well, I mean, I buy that they met with Pablo Sandoval and I bought that they met with Victor Martinez, but I thought it was, you know, one in maybe 100 chance that they were gonna sign either of those guys. And V-Mart's off the table, and it looks like the Red Sox are hot to trot for Pablo. The only guy I'm kind of buying is Russell Martin. And it's kind of a weird one for me because it's, if I was going to, you know, run down a list of needs for the Blue Jays, it wouldn't be a catcher necessarily, and I wonder what it does to Deonner Navarro if they do sign him. Maybe it's a trade him at a pretty high value or whatever, or you keep him and DH him and you roll with three catchers because you have to have a knuckleball catcher, and we know that there's only one that will do for R.A. Dickey. But how legit is this Russell Martin stuff in your opinion, Mike? Do you think that's the one guy the Blue Jays are really, really all in on almost?
It's interesting. It really is. And by the way, there are two guys who are good for R.A. Dickey. Henry Blanco is the other.
Oh, yeah, right. Hank White.
That's right. But I thought the first time I heard about these Russell Martin idea was this is a luxury that they can't afford. I mean, this is extra. What do you need? You don't need this. You need other things, so go and get your other things. But the more I think about it, what if Russ Martin comes here and catches 3 days a week and Navarro catches 2 days a week and Tolley catches 2 days a week or whenever Dickey pitches. Navarro DHs a couple of games. Russ Martin plays third couple of games. It's certainly possible. And, you know, I love the fact that Martin knows how to catch, knows how to frame pitches.
Yeah.
And maybe you're right. Maybe the thing is that they do it and then they trade Deonner Navarro for help elsewhere, whether it's with Jay Happ for a better starting pitcher or whether it's for a second baseman or a third baseman and Russ Martin becomes the primary catcher. Deonner Navarro did a really good job for the Blue Jays last year. What he didn't do a really good job of was keeping a lot of strikes in the strike zone.
Yeah, he's not good at that.
Yeah, and buying strikes on pitches that were outside the strike zone. And that can change the fortunes of a team dramatically. A guy who's a great pitch framer. I mean, the Tampa Bay Rays, Jose Molina, who stole more strikes than anybody else the two seasons before this one. And that's a huge help. Turning a 1-1 count into a 1-2 count instead of a 2-1 count,
Massive.
So I kind of like that idea. And you know, there are holes elsewhere, and there are needs to be filled. But I think you can go and get an Aoki to play left field. I think that, you know, you're going to be okay in center with Pompey or with Pilar to start, however that works out. Maybe it's not such a huge luxury to get Russ Martin. I'm not convinced it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it makes more sense to me now than it did a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, I've read a couple of things about how Martin kind of talks about his baseball mortality and how he eventually does want to transition to an infielder. And maybe that means everyday infield. I mean, he's played third base in his career for the Dodgers. He wanted to play shortstop for Team Canada.
Yes, he did.
They wouldn't let him, very famously. Is there a possibility they bring him in to be the everyday third baseman and move Brett Laurie to second base full time?
Possibility? Yeah, I would be surprised, though, because he's still a tremendously skilled catcher. And you want to squeeze every ounce of that.
But it really does. It solves a need if you do that, though, Mike.
Yeah, but I mean, is Russ Martin worth the amount of money he's going to be worth if you're bringing him in to play third and not catch?
If he does what he did last year with a .402 on base and a .430 slugging, yes.
Yeah, if he does what he did last year.
Yeah.
How often has he done that?
Once. Well, right. No, he had a 4-0, sorry, no, well, he's never had a 400 on base, but he's had close to it, 385 in 2008. So he's come close. I mean, he's always been a guy who's had an on base about 100 points higher than his batting average.
Yeah, and for his career, it's about 100 points higher. But look at the 2 years he's coming off of before last year.
Yeah.
3 years he's coming off of before last year. They weren't good offensively.
And but they were okay for a catcher.
Right, but not for a third baseman.
Right. Yeah, and I guess that's the question mark, is how much you're willing to give up if a guy's catching instead of playing the infield.